good Sunday morning. Morning like we haven't experienced in a long, long time in this city. Welcome in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Weekend mornings with Sam and Greg's on the other side of the glass, and he's the one working the magic over there, folks. But the magic has been in the air throughout last night. We can now say we are the home of champions, and it feels good. Hadn't happened in a while. You had to be there last night to experience. But if you didn't, you know, hey, we're going to give you some of the feels, some of the sounds from there from last night, some of the afterthoughts, and also, of course, tell you how you can get involved with the big celebration that's all in the works for tomorrow in downtown Atlanta. My goodness. And you heard it all right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the home of Atlanta United. And throughout the season, we've covered and documented each and every moment with this team, each and every move with this team, riding along with them to this championship that we've achieved. And so we're going to enjoy this today. This is going to be our theme this morning. Obviously, we still got football. We're going to talk about football because it is Sunday in the National Football League, and the Falcons are playing in Green Bay, of all places, and they had some big news this week. But, man, nothing's bigger than what we achieved last night here in our city, winning a championship, a Major League championship for the first time in 23 years. We can say, Atlanta, we're champions. And it's an amazing, amazing, amazing feeling. And I want to hear from you. Some of you are still awake, probably haven't been to sleep. I don't doubt it. I didn't get much sleep. I got a little bit, you know. We hope to hear from Mike Conte later on today. He probably got a couple of winks. It seemed like he just got off the air here a little while ago. And John Nelson was on along with him. We hope to hear from him this morning, too. We can wake those guys up. But my goodness, what a night. And the weather outside is just awful. But, you know, it kind of doesn't matter when you can say that we're champions and we won a championship. You know, I want to hear from people this morning just talking about it, and I'm going to let you know how I feel about it and what I saw and what I felt throughout the night being there with this team, of what it means to see people of this city react the way that they have. And it didn't really matter that it was bad, rainy weather outside. People got out into the streets, got into their cars and honked their horns and drove through downtown. It was tough getting out of downtown last night. It was. But people were celebrating, and so you were patient with it. You didn't mind, because this is something we don't get to experience. Hopefully, it's the start of something. Hopefully, it's something that not only will have more victories like this by Atlanta United, but hopefully it will inspire something in our other organizations, to get them to see that it is possible. I think a lot of people figure it couldn't happen because it's Atlanta. We've heard the national media beat up on us for so long and say what can't happen here and what shouldn't happen here. Well, we threw all that out the window last night. And you know that victory log that had strapped to the back of the flatbed truck? I was looking for that thing last night, and I never saw it. Never saw the chainsaw. I never saw any of that last night.
How you doing, man?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm back here doing some. Just trying to make some magic.
you got it started.
I'm trying to make some magic.
You set the table.
Listen, there's a lot of things to chew on here from different perspectives. You and I, mostly you this morning, are going to have a perspective that's different than the guys who are going to come on afterwards. There's going to be a generational perspective. Those that remember the last celebration that took place here in town. Comparing the two. Comparing the crowds.
Yeah.
That's actually relevant.
Yes.
Because there weren't nearly as many families part of a celebration when we talk about the other ones compared to what we saw last night. And that's akin to Arthur Blank.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And we're going to get into that. And I want you to talk about that, too. Because you were here for the transition. We had one guy who was the sports figurehead in this town for decades, and that was Ted Turner.
Yes.
You covered him.
Yes.
Now we have Arthur Blank. Pretty much the same, I mean, different kind of businessmen, but the same objective as far as what they wanted from their sports teams.
And the same dedication to
exactly.
Bring winning teams to this city.
Write the check.
Yes.
Put the people in place.
That's it.
Except for that one day that Ted Turner thought he could manage the Braves.
But at the same time, now he's thinking about his business.
Exactly.
What can he
do
to attract eyeballs?
Exactly.
You know, so that's what he was doing, the thing that he knew how to do. But you're right. There are some parallels.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, I did run into, you know, a member of Ted Turner's family last night who, you know, I saw after the match. And, kind of ironic to see him and tie that all together. So, yeah, to see them there being a part of it and celebrating it and excited for the city and excited for the team, it was certainly something welcome to see. You know, we're going to talk about this throughout the day. Of course, we knew how Heisman Trophy winner that was crowned last night. You know, Kyler Murray, and he's designated to go and play baseball, but does this change anything for him? And did they pick the right winner? Some of you may not think that they did. I think that they got the right guy. And, oh, by the way, Atlanta Hawks, just right next door to Mercedes-Benz, beat the first-place team in the West last night. You know, so, I mean, all those things are going on. And, of course, like I mentioned also that the Falcons are playing the Packers up in Green Bay later on today. But our big story, obviously, is what happened here last night and what you got to see and experience. And I'm just happy and thankful that I can say that I was in the building, I was in the house, and got to see it all unfold and take place. And it was special. It was special because it was is Atlanta. It was special because the crowd was here. Yeah, Portland had a section of fans. They put them way up top. And they put them out in the corner. They were right above the press box. I looked right outside the press box window, and they were right above where we were sitting with the Portland fans.
They kept showing them on TV.
Yeah,
they might have been small, but they were ruckus.
Yeah, they were making some noise, but they were so far away. All other people out in the field couldn't even hear.
Well, maybe they should have sat on that log they brought.
We never saw the log. Don't know what happened to that.
Probably on a flatbed underneath, down in the bowels.
We were saying outside because we were waiting to get into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We had to wait for security, and that's the other thing too. This whole thing is like a dry run for the Super Bowl. Everything right. That happens over like this magnitude is a chance for all those mechanisms for security to get into place. We had to wait for the dog to come over and sniff us twice, you know, before, and all our equipment before we were able to go inside.
Did you get dinner first?
The dog came over and did what he had to do. And then he split and we were able to go in. But there were these Portland fans that were coming up. I'm saying, okay, it's cold, it's nasty, it's rainy. Y'all brought this weather with you because this was their weather. This is their weather. Okay, I'm glad we're playing inside because they brought their weather all the way across country with them because it's definitely what we had outside. It's some Portland weather. A lot of rain, wind, cold. And so it was that part they can get with. Is what happened after once things got started. The shots don't go. I mean, both teams seemed a little tense and a little tight when things started. And as you might well expect, you know, something of this magnitude with this crowd, 73,000 plus in a building that supposedly only seats 71. They had a lot of standing room. People just wanted to get in under the roof and witness this event and witness it and see it in person. You know, once the teams got things going and some of the butterflies got out, and some of the players admitted there were some butterflies early. But once they got down to business, you could see an advantage for Atlanta United. They were getting more shots on goal. They were getting more attempts, and, you know, they were just having it in their half of the field. It looked like just the moment they would get a goal, some things didn't go their way, and then they finally broke through. And who would it be but Joseph Martinez? Who would it be but this guy? And we're going to talk about him in the back half of the hour, where he now ranks among some of the really, really, the best players that we've seen play on the different teams professionally here in Atlanta. Where do we rank him now for what he's done? He's the league MVP. He scores the first goal for Atlanta United last night, and he's the guy that lights the flame. You know, this team really looks to see him, take advantage of an opportunity and get the club off to a good start, and that's what he did last night. He ends up getting the MVP award for the MLS Cup final last night. So where do you want to rank him? And we'll get into that later on in our show, this later on this hour. But Joseph Martinez, amazing job getting things started. The 1-0 lead, and then they get the second goal to really kind of sew things up. And when they get the second goal, you just kind of feel like, okay, these guys aren't going to give up two goals to a Portland team that was having trouble, you know, doing things their way. And it forced them out of things that they like to do and had them go and kind of be, you know, a little reckless abandon. As Mike Conte said, they're going to throw the kitchen sink now. They're going to do everything they can. And sure enough, they did it, and nothing worked for them. And you could see that happen. And I got a chance to move around the building a little bit. I was there doing a little something for City of Atlanta. And we moved around and talked to some of the city officials, some county, some of the people with the city council. They were excited and fired up about it.
How's Mayor Keisha feeling?
She's got a little bit of a cold, but
I mean, I saw her last night, but she looked like she didn't have that big smile she normally did.
Yeah, she got fighting a little bit of a cold, but she wasn't going to miss this. This is big for, you know, for the city, and she can claim she has something that a lot of the other mayors don't have. She got a championship, and so she's out there having a great time, and talked to some of the spectators who were there, some of the fans that were there. So excited for it and ready for this parade. It doesn't matter if it rains or not, folks. These folks are going to be out for this celebration tomorrow through the streets of Atlanta. We're going to talk about that as we go along. Coming up next, tell you about the parade, where it's going to start, what time, and try to figure out what the path was for the last time we had this. Braves in 1995, I think they went straight up Peachtree Street. I'm not sure. If you remember, I'd like to hear from you. 404-741-0929, and we'll give you the parade route and more on this championship celebration Sunday morning. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Boy, if that had happened, the roof would have blown off the place. We had to put a new roof on the stadium. Miguel Almirón trying at the bicycle. Didn't quite make it, but it's in a thrill through the crowd there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night. Welcome back in, everyone, to a championship Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam Crenshaw with you up until 9 a.m. And I'm on this side of the glass alone today because Greg is on the other side of the glass working his magic and wizardry this morning. And, you know, we're still going to hear from him from time to time today. But this is a great day. And we want to hear, find out more about, you know, this championship celebration and the way the ones in the past, we haven't had many, the way those have gone and those of you who remember them. You know, we'll talk about those some in this segment and a little bit more about the team and just what we saw last night. Want to remind everyone that we do have football coming up here later on today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, your Atlanta Falcons will be playing. Falcons on the road in Green Bay against the Packers. And boy, they make some news this week. Dismissing the coach. We wonder what type of impact that's going to have with Mike McCarthy now gone after a long, long tenure with that team. 11 o'clock is the pregame show. 1 o'clock is the kickoff. And then tonight, we'll have the Sunday night game, which will be the Rams and the Chicago Bears. And that's a 7:30 pregame, 8:20 kickoff. And you can hear that all right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As always, on an NFL game day Sunday, you hear football action here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are celebrating a championship, celebrating something we haven't had in our city in 23 years, and something we're going to have tomorrow that we haven't had in 23 years, and that's a celebration parade. I think some people were asking me that they have a parade during the Olympics, and I don't think they had a parade during the Olympics. I think the parade, if anything, in the street was the torch relay, and I think that's something that happens as the Olympic, you know, get closer and closer to start. Your torches run through the city and people hand it off. And I know some people who personally did run a leg of it as you're getting closer and closer to the start of the Olympic Games. So I know that's something that they blocked streets off and people turned out just to see the flame, you know, being run toward the stadium for the opening ceremony. But, of course, 95 was after the Braves won and they had a victory parade in downtown Atlanta. And I was, you know what, and that's why last night and what's happening now means a lot to me personally because I was not living and working here in 1995. I was living and working in North Carolina. And so I had to watch everything on TV or I had to go turn on the radio and listen to Skip and Pete. That's the way I kept plugged into what was happening around here as the Braves won their championship. I do believe, and correct me, you can correct me and help me out with this if you were there, you recall, 404-741-0929. I think that the Braves victory parade went north on Peachtree. I don't know exactly where it started, but I do know it went north on Peachtree, and I remember seeing the Fox Theater and things in that part of Midtown that it came up in that direction, headed north up toward where we are at Colony Square. And I'm guessing because Centennial Olympic Park was under construction then, it wasn't what it is now because it was being, you know, detailed for the Olympics in 96, that parade may have ended in Piedmont Park. That's what I'm guessing. But, you know, like I said, I wasn't living here at the time, so I wasn't sure exactly what the Braves parade route was in 1995. And if you remember, help me out. The one that we have planned for tomorrow, what we have planned. We have planned the one that the Atlanta United and the City of Atlanta has planned. We'll start basically at the corner intersection of Peachtree and Baker downtown. So they'll cross Peachtree. They won't go down Peachtree. They will cross Peachtree on Baker. They're going to proceed on Baker Street down past World of Coke, past the, you know, past the aquarium, all the way down to Marietta. They're going to make a turn there on Marietta and go over to Andrew Young International Boulevard, which is right. You'll go past the College Football Hall of Fame. That's the Omni Hotel. You make the right turn that leads you up to the World Congress Center and into the Home Depot backyard that's adjacent to the stadium. And there the celebration will be, the ceremony will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium tomorrow. So it starts at 10 a.m. and right there at the SunTrust Plaza, and we'll proceed going west on Baker to Marietta to International to the stadium. And that's the plan for tomorrow. You don't know if you're working in that area, if you have business in that part of town. I don't know how you're going to conduct any kind of business tomorrow, because regardless of how this weather is going to be, and it is forecast to not be good, people are still going to be out for this. They want to come out and be a part of it and witness something historic, something that is rare and unique for our town, something that we hope we get to do more of. Because, you know, some cities, you know, some cities seem like they're always celebrating something. You know, and Boston's one of them cities. If it's not the Patriots, it's the Red Sox or the Bruins. You know, somebody's won something, the Celtics. And so I'm sure they have a drill. You know, it probably always starts at a certain place and it always ends at a certain place. I'm figuring Philadelphia probably has something, you know, in land, but what they do, you know, where they start and where they finish. They've had some celebrations recently with the Eagles and, you know, with Villanova, but Villanova's probably went closer to their campus. New York, I suppose, has something. But you know what? I guess they go Canyon of Champions. We ain't seen New York. New York ain't won nothing in a minute. Nobody in New York's won. When was the last time New York won something? So it's been a minute since we've seen them have a parade. But, yeah, they do usually it's the Canyon of Champions for them. Greg, we mentioned Chicago. When we were working in the bullpen, we mentioned Chicago. And so Chicago did quite a bit when the Bulls were winning.
Yeah.
And then the Blackhawks had their string. They went right
to Grant Park. United Center is about that's about 5 miles, right down Madison. Right down Madison, everything is, you know, those cities up north is a grid, so they went right down Madison for those Bulls championships. Everything ended up at Grant Park.
Okay.
All right, right downtown.
White Sox, same thing?
Yeah. Well, that was like 05. Yeah. And that's where that's the big gathering. That's where they have the draft when they had that a few years ago.
Yeah, that was there. Okay.
But the Cubs.
Okay.
That was special.
So they didn't go the same way.
They did not. It was as if they started in Milwaukee. They started at Wrigley.
Well, it's been so long. We waited so long for that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it might still be going on. Somebody check WGN. It was the fifth, if I remember correctly. It made the top 10 list. I want to say five, but I could be wrong. But it was in the top 10 list, and more than a handful of areas documented this. The fifth biggest gathering of humans since they have been keeping those records.
Whoa.
The fifth biggest gathering. I mean, we're talking.
We're not talking just in the United
States. No, we're talking world, the history of the world since they've been keeping those records. We're talking, all the rest of them were like religious gatherings.
Okay.
Popes and other places in the Middle East and, you know, just crazy religious gatherings where you expect to see millions of people.
Right.
This made that list. And they, I mean, I don't know how they counted these folks.
Really?
But, I mean, it went from Wrigley Field, I believe. I can't remember exactly where. But it weaved through downtown. A lot of the big cities, they want to kind of keep them off certain streets just for various reasons, commerce and just the condition of the street for one, too, because, you know, snow can mess up a street. Construction, things like that.
Right,
but
right.
This thing went right down Michigan Avenue.
So it deviated from what the normal.
It came, you know, Wrigley Field's north. You had to go over to the lake. And they came down. I think they came down Lakeshore Drive, and they got on Michigan Avenue, and the thing took forever. Again, I was here in 95. I don't remember exactly where, you know, this thing went. it did come through the city, but it was something special. And the crazy thing, people that were here will remember the year before, and I don't know if they had even a parade, but it was the Atlanta Knights won.
Okay.
The Turner Cup.
Okay.
That was a big deal because nobody had won anything.
Right, right.
And so they won in 94, but then next year when the Braves won. But, yeah, I mean, you're pretty much right. But you weren't here for that thing, so you missed all that, man.
I missed it. Relatives and people, you know, friends told me about it, and I saw, you know, but as far as being here to actually experience it, no. So that's what makes what happening right now for me, you know, extra special to be able to witness it and document it and then be a part of what's going to take place tomorrow, man.
And you know the other component that people forget about that was ever present? It was that 400-pound gorilla in the room. You had a lot of upset people. You had a lot of really, really, really mad people in baseball because this was the first season after the strike.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And so there were a lot of, baseball can you know what. And but see, that's where kids come in because kids don't know about salaries and strikes and why they're happening. They just tug on their father's shirt and say, "Daddy, take me out to the game."
Yeah.
And parents acquiesce.
And when the team wins.
There you go.
So this
was that first year after the strike, and Yeah.
Well, we're hoping tomorrow that people, you know, don't miss out on this opportunity to be a part of something that we hope would be the first of many. We hope we're going to see celebrations many more times, you know, after this one. This is just going to be the first one. So maybe we're setting a precedent for the way things would go. You would think ordinarily that something like this, when the weather's nice, would end probably in Centennial Olympic Park. There's a lot of construction and development going on around the Centennial Olympic Park, which would make it kind of difficult for people to get into it for something like that right now. So they're going to go around the park and go up International and go and finish at Mercedes-Benz there at the Home Depot backyard and then into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which would be nice to celebrate inside since the weather's going to be the way it's going to be tomorrow. But that is coming up starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow. I'm moving around last night and talking to a number of fans, just people who were there and excited to see some things. And, you know, people tell some strange stories. And one, I talked with a couple, you know, who were there. And they were saying, I said, "Are you guys having a good time? You guys enjoying it? What do you think about this? This is great. This is fantastic. I think we're going to win it, and we're going to celebrate. But right now, you know, we got to go." And his wife says, "We got to go get back in the beer line." He says, "When we get in the beer line, the team scores." I said, "Really?" He said, "Never fails. We go get beer, they score a goal." I said, "I'll tell you what, we're going to stop the interview, let you guys go back, get back in line and score another goal." Hey, look, it was that kind of night. And people just felt like sharing it. And sharing that excitement, what they've been able to experience with this team here in town. You know, and that was great to see. A city of people who have longed for a very long time to say we're champions. You know, we watched these celebrations in other places, and some kind of way it seemed like it wasn't for us. National media has made it seem like it's not for us. It's not supposed to happen here, but it did happen here. Coming up next, we'll get some thoughts on Joseph Martinez. What he's done and what he means to this team and what he's done for the sports landscape in this city. Come on back with me. It's a game day Sunday. It is a celebration Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, I guess you can say that. You agree. Joseph Martinez getting 5 stripes on the goal and just sending the crowd into delirium last night. I had the MLS Cup down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Welcome into a game day Sunday morning and a championship celebration Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you up until 9 a.m. Glad you are with me wherever you are. Hope you are warm and dry wherever you are because it's nasty and cold. And as I watch some of the monitors here in the Kia Studios up in the northern end of our listening area, they're looking at some wintry mix and some snow, and it looks, you know, that's far north from this area, but that's what's happening. It seems like we're going to get a little bit of the wintry mix down here maybe today and maybe some tomorrow. Nothing, I think, that's going to prevent us from being able to move around and being able to join in the celebration tomorrow for what took place last night, and I think that's the main thing.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Before you get into Joseph Martinez and him being a bad mama jamma. Because this is a real thing, and people, and you got to wonder, at a quiet moment last night, did this run through Arthur Blank's mind? Did what happened last night in your mind not necessarily take away, but did it dull the feelings that you have deep inside of you about 28-3?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that win last night ease the pain of the loss in the Super Bowl?
I don't know if it eases the pain, but it allows us to claim being champions.
I'm talking about Arthur Blank. I'm talking about the guy who's at the top there.
Yeah. You know, we're gonna get into him at the top.
But how much do you think that does? I'm 1-1 now, basically, with my organizations, my sports organizations.
Yeah, but there's been so much more with him. You know what I mean?
I'm bringing it to its lowest common denominator. Because if it were me, I mean, A, it's been a couple years. But at the end of the day, the man, he's a businessman.
Right.
And from a business standpoint,
you look for results.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's what happens with a businessman. He looks for results.
And as happy as he is for United fans, he's still got – I mean, obviously that's not going to go away, and he got a bad taste in his mouth like every other Falcons fan.
Right.
And he's right there with him. But I was thinking about the two, you know, how from – because he's the only person in that chair. He's the only person who could have those feelings that I'm asking you. How do you feel like he last night when everything was kind of dying down? Man, I got this last night, but I still got that other one kind of dangling in the garage, you know?
It's dangling in the garage. You know, it just for him, obviously it's a sense of accomplishment and obviously of bringing something to the city. And, you know, I'll share a little bit of my conversation with him. You know, we get to the top of the hour and talk about Arthur Blank and where he stands right now as far as the city and what he's able to bring to the city. You know, the goals when he became an owner of sports franchises and decided to take on the Atlanta Falcons. And then, of course, now Atlanta United. Of course, this does seem like a dream deferred that's able to come true for him. But also the citizens of Atlanta, the sports fans of Atlanta, something that we wanted for so long and seemed like it was so close that we could taste it 2 years ago out in Houston, Texas. That bitter aftertaste, yeah, it still lingers for some and it will for some time. But this kind of does take away some of that and gives us something to really feel good about that it can happen, because a lot of people were even reluctant with this team. They felt like, well, we're Atlanta. Can it happen for us? You know, it's not meant for us. Well, it is meant for us, and we have it now. We have the championship. So, I mean, and who knows, to me, it could be the start of many. It could be the Falcons right now. They're not broken. You know, this Falcons team has some injuries. They're going to have to do some retooling in the offseason. You know, we know what to do as far as any personnel, as far as the coaching staff goes. But they have the nucleus, we know, in play. And that's what makes things so aggravating as far as that team goes, because we know that the nucleus is in place to make this team be a team that's capable of winning a championship. We see what's happening with the Braves. We say they're ahead of schedule. Okay, they're ahead of schedule. You know, the things that they did this year and looking forward to it. We could be seeing the first of a few celebrations like this in our future. And, of course, we're retooling the Hawks to hopefully do something that we haven't seen them do since they've been here in Atlanta, and that is get to the NBA Finals. So, I mean, all those things are things to look forward to in the future. We like the direction that our teams are going as far as building it, because we want to sustain it. We don't want to just win it just one time. We want it to last and have championships over and over again and be contenders for championships over and over again. And that is what has happened with this Atlanta United team from top to bottom, from the front office, you know, all the way down to the trainers and everyone with this team. It seems like the perfect people were selected and put into place for this team to have the optimal success. And that is what we're seeing. It all fell into place. There are other teams that have done this, that have spent the money and it didn't work. But the money, the investment has been made on this team, and it is working. And because it has worked the way it has, because it has been received the way that it has locally, and because of the ripple and effect across the country for soccer that what we've done here in Atlanta will have, if any players are chosen to go and play in other countries because of what they did here, don't worry. The line is real long of great players who want to come and be a part of what we're doing here in Atlanta. This thing is going to go on for some time, folks. That's what we're saying about it. Now, we talk about a great player that we hope will be back next year, and we believe that he will because he loves playing. It's Joseph Martinez. This community has fallen in love with him, and he loves this community. He loves playing here in Atlanta. He's enjoyed his time here. His family enjoys being here, and rightfully so. 31 goals, broke the league scoring record for a season. He's the MVP of the league. Last night, he scores the first goal. The stadium erupts, and he is named the MVP of the MLS Cup, and rightfully so. Joseph Martinez right now places himself in very elite company, in my view, as far as sports figures in this town on the field, who had that sense of timing, who, when he was on the field and came close to being involved with the play, there was that air of anticipation. And we can think of those guys and maybe count them on one hand. Maybe there'll be more than that, but just the player that just caught your imagination. You think of a Dominique Wilkins, a guy who just had that sense of timing and loved to play to the crowd, and the crowd loved him. He's a crowd pleaser. He's someone that people like, and that's where I think about Neek, and that's why Neek still gets the love that he gets in this city, because when people saw him play, they saw him play with all his heart. And I can't tell you anybody that said they bought a ticket to go and see Dominique Wilkins play that left the Omni thinking they didn't get their money's worth. And I think that's why he'll always have that type of sentiment, and people will always feel that way about him. So you say Martinez was in the room with a player like him. Obviously, we know number seven, Michael Vick, was a crowd pleaser, and people loved him, and he brought Atlanta something that we hadn't had, I guess, since Hank Aaron. That player that people wanted to see, that one player that people wanted to watch all over the country, and it didn't matter if it was a home game or away game, he was that guy, and we didn't get a chance to have many guys like that. Of course, Deion Sanders, also before him, was that guy that just had that sense of timing. You know, when Deion went back to field a punt, or if he got an interception, if he got his hand on the interception, that was one thing, but we wanted to see what he was going to do afterwards, because that was part of that magic when you think about number 21 and number 7. Think about baseball. I think also about Chipper Jones and John Smoltz. I think of two guys just had that sense of timing, the big moment. You know, the guy who Smoltz wanted the ball in a big situation, either as a starter or out of the bullpen. He thrived for it. He wanted it so badly. Chipper Jones wanted that opportunity to come with the game on the line, needing to get that hit. So to me, Joseph Martinez has now placed himself in that very, very elite company in this city, and he's done it. And one other thing he can say, he's champion. He's won it. Winning the MLS Cup last night, Joseph Martinez, we salute him and what he's done, incredible, as well as the rest of the five stripe. All right, second hour, we're going to get more talk, more on the MLS Cup. We're going to hear from John Nelson. He was there last night. We're going to talk with him some, and also talk about Arthur Blank and parallel his career with Ted Turner as owner here in this city. That's coming up next. But first, chance to get some cash in your pocket. We call it the casting call on this championship celebration Sunday morning. It was Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.